They can tip either way. Be an almost jolly affair with a selection of uplifting hymns and a charming eulogy that pinpoints the deceased in succinct bullet points, a bit like an optimistic Tinder profile. Or they can be properly depressing, with hymns no one knows, ensuring a pathetic mumbled choral response and a colour-by-numbers tribute where only the names have been changed. Nigel, Steve, Peter, Oscar, John was a keen reader of hardcore pornography and also enjoyed ornithology. Nigel's funeral was the latter. My eyes meandered past the boiled sweet stained glass windows, up towards the rafters, questioning how they cleaned them. They surely harboured fleshy cobwebs, potential drafts in danger of setting them free to float down from their moorings, coating a member of the congregation in a gossamer funeral shroud. As a matter of course, when attending a church funeral, any funeral to be honest, sex seedily crept into my head. I'd lost my virginity after a friend's bleak funeral when I was 18 and 2 months. There's nothing like facing your own mortality to get the juices flowing. I can't even listen to Purple Rain now without thinking of it as purple pain. Anyone who says that it doesn't hurt or that the bloodbath is a myth must have acquiesced to a man with an asparagus-sized penis. Trust me to have decided on eventually letting down my drawbridge for someone endowed with a Coke can between his thighs. My eyes watered thinking about it at the front of the church, listening to the vicar expand on Nigel's good points, while ignoring that he could be a bit of a selfish knob. The aftermath of the much-anticipated deflowering I'd fantasised about for years had been like clearing up after a gangland massacre. Without the professional help of Winston Wolfe, I was pretty much stumped, because I had no idea how to use the washing machine, selfish teenager that I was. I'd had to enlist the help of Sally, my sensible friend who lived on the periphery of Hazelmere, a 5-minute drive from my parents' house. "Are you free?" I'd rang Sally in a panic. Mum was at work and would be back at 6. Louise would be back from school at 4:30. It was 3 in the afternoon. Robert had skedaddled, unable to hide his revulsion at how much I had bled all over my bobbly lemon nylon sheets. At least he decoded the washing machine's Masonic symbols for me, though I had no idea how to put it on a spin cycle. "Yes, how was the funeral?" "Hideous. Can I come and pick you up? Bring a hairdryer." "Okay." That was why I'd asked her. No tricky questions. Once back in the kitchen, lugging out the sopping wet sheet from the washing machine, Sally turned to me. "You finally did it then." "How did you know?" "I just did, the minute you mentioned the hairdryer." We stood in the kitchen, both of us blasting the sheet with two dryers buzzing like wasps, barely making a dent. In the end, I slept in a damp bed that night, but at least I was no longer a virgin. A pompous hymn jolted me away from the home county's pine cabinets and mid-80s periodic terracotta tile splashbacks. It was written in the stars that Louise wouldn't cope. She wasn't born to be a widow or a single mum. She'd always been cosseted by the constant reassuring presence of a boyfriend from the age of 12 and hadn't had to face the insecurities and nightmarish underworld of puberty alone. I prescribed her some diazepam to knock her out after the initial shock. She needed to sleep. The kids depended on her, but she also deserved a break from her own head. Initially, she kept repeating she was being punished, that it was all her fault. Even when she was drugged and lying face down on her super king-size bed, incoherent mumblings drifted up from her slack mouth. "My fault. All my fault." Unless she had cut the brakes on his car, she had done nothing wrong. Mum and Dad had moved in to help initially, but they couldn't stay forever. They were getting on, and the stairs were too steep and plentiful for Dad's arthritic hip. "Krista, can you stay for a bit?" Mum had asked the day before the funeral. I'd already guessed they'd ask me that at some point. Louise lived in Forest Hill, not too far from me in East Dulwich, and my surgery was in Nunhead, about 1.5 miles away. "I can tell you're not keen to move in," she deduced from my silence as we unpacked family-sized bags of crisps, pre-packed cakes and light bites from Sainsbury's bags for the wake. "I know you've had a lot of upheaval yourself, and you and Louise had that weird time in the 90s when you didn't speak. Don't worry, I'm not probing." A dim recollection flickered briefly of Mum trying not to cry down the phone.